Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
I'm joined by our old friend, Brad Meltzer, not an old friend, but a friend of the program, Brad Meltzer. He's out with two new books for children. One is called A New Day, and the other one is I Am Frida Kahlo. And they're both available now, and they're just fantastic books for kids. Brad, let's start with A New Day, because that's something new for you. You've written these I Am series before, but this A New Day, this is just a genuine children's book, not about a historical figure, but about a concept, and it's a really great concept. What is it?
No, and listen, we've been talking a long time, Brian, and in the 20 years I've been doing this, I have never, ever dreamed a book. And I dreamt this entire book. I dreamt, not all of it, but the concept of it. I woke up in the morning and realized Sunday quit just like that. And when she quits, the other days of the week have to find a replacement, and they hold tryouts for a new day. And that's what A New Day is about. And, of course, it's really fun because the tryouts begin, and they say, let's have fun day, and everyone will have fun on it. And they're like, no. And they're like, how about run day? Everyone will run real fast, like the Flash. And they're like, no. Like, what about bun day? And everyone will wear Princess Leia buns in their hair. And they're like, nah. And it gets crazier. The dogs want a dog day. The cats want catter day. This superhero day where everyone yells, I'm Batman. And they're like, don't say it. We're going to get sued. And it just gets wilder and wilder until a little girl comes at the end of Sunday and shows her a potted plant. And they says, what's this? Plant a tree day, make a rutabaga day. She says, no, Sunday. She says, I just wanted to say thank you. I just want to say thank you for all the calm you've brought us and hope you have a nice day. And at that moment, Sunday is undone and is just so excited to have this thank you from this little girl that she looks at the girl and realizes what the whole point of the book is that with a little kindness in it, every day can be a new day. And that's what I wanted for my kids, is to kind of give them that measure. To, you know, we're all so stressed and so anxious today, but to give our kids that ability to realize you put a little kindness in the universe and say thank you, and you can make a new day.
Well, you obviously have children of your own, and so when you have an idea like this, you dream it. Do you bounce this idea off your kids to say, is this a book you'd even care about?
You know, it's funny. I never thought that having kids would give me a free focus group, but they certainly do. You know, all pretentious writers will keep a notepad nearby because, you know, you never know when lightning will strike and genius will come. It never works like that. Creativity is not magic. Creativity is hard work, sitting in the chair and thinking about it. And I always go to my kids. My kids are not impressed with anything I do at all. They and nor should they be, right? No one should be impressed by their parents, and they give me a hard time. And I told them the idea for A New Day, and I knew I was on to someone. They were like, that's a good idea, Dad. When I get a compliment from my children, I know I got to pay attention.
Well, and the illustrations in this book I really enjoyed because they're different than the ones that are in the I Am series. They're a different type of a character. And so how'd you go about working with an illustrator on this one?
Yeah, so the amazing Dan Santap is our artist on this book, and he's an award-winning illustrator. It looks like it's painted. It's so gorgeous to look at. And we found him through our mutual friend. I found him, and he is the one who is the secret weapon who brings the book to life. I mean, to be able to render Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know, he drew all the days of the week, and he based them off of kind of real people. So Monday is Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation, Amy Poehler's character. And Friday is based on Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Richmond High. And Saturday is the dude from, you know, when the dude abides in The Big Lebowski. And I love the fact that, you know, there are these, like, famous people built into these, like, little round shapes that he's rendered for the days of the week. And of course, you can do the comedy. You know, when we do superhero day, or we do, you know, the dogs start going asking for dog days, and when they get denied, they come back and they're like, you know, wearing mustaches and carrying frogs, and they're like, instead let's have dogs with frogs day. And the cats are like, those are the same dogs from before. And you know, the cats are screaming for catter day, and the dogs are arguing for their dog day, and everyone's arguing, you know, for worst vice president's day, and the sharks want shark day, and they're like, it needs a week. And the comedy doesn't work unless you have an artist who can do the jokes. And I love the fact that Dan Santat just so got the comedy. and just nailed it. And I, you know, everyone on my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram has been sending me pictures of their kids reading the books. I should say so many people have them, and just saying that their kids are asking to read it again and again. And there's no higher compliment than that. But I personally think it's the beautiful art that's inside A New Day.
Well, and, you know, you talk about the jokes, and for a presidential historian nerd like me, and clearly you have the history bug in you, you have a suggestion in there about worst Vice President's Day and a picture of Elbridge Gerry, who's somebody I haven't thought about in all kinds of time, but James Madison's vice president, perfect example.
Yeah, no, that was, it's funny, they asked the artist what his favorite joke in the whole book was. And he said, having to draw worst Vice President's Day. He's like, because Elbridge Gerry was just, he's like, I didn't even know who he was, and I learned something. And I was like, of course. So how could I possibly, someone who writes thrillers and presidential history like I do, not have in A New Day worst Vice President's Day?
Well, and then let's flip over to the I Am Frida Kahlo book. This is a fantastic book, and I must admit, I missed the movie when it came out. I had never heard of her until I got the pitch on this book and read up on her a little bit. And then when I got the book, I read yours, obviously. But Frida Kahlo is such a fantastic character, but was there something about her, other than the obvious, the overcoming all kinds of difficulties to become a fantastic artist, was there something about her story that really cinched it for you that you wanted to write this story?
You know, the honest truth was is, as you know, we started this series to give my kids better heroes to look up to, heroes of kindness and compassion, and teach them character. And we did I Am Amelia Earhart, and I Am Abraham Lincoln, and I Am Rosa Parks. And all these kids kept writing to me saying, can you do I Am Frida Kahlo? And the truth was, when we did our first Hispanic hero, I didn't want to do an artist. My snobbery, and I guess being a lawyer myself, I wanted to do someone that was using their brain in a different way. And we did I Am Sonia Sotomayor. Again, no politics about it, but just to show someone who came from really almost nothing to the rough neighborhood to the highest court in the land. And kids kept writing, saying, when's I Am Frida Kahlo? And eventually you got to listen to your readers. And I did, as you, I missed the movie. I knew that she had a unibrow, and I knew that Salma Hayek played her in the movie. I didn't know anything else. And I'm like, okay, so she painted stuff. How great can that make her? It's just a painting. And what a fool I was, because she was a girl who, when she was younger, got polio. Her legs were different sizes, so she used to wear long dresses and extra socks. And kids would make fun of her, calling her peg leg, calling her ugly. And she got into a horrible bus accident where she's in a full body cast and her back is broken in multiple places. They don't know if she's going to, you know, how she's going to walk again. And while she's lying in bed in this full body cast, she says, bring me paintbrushes. And she starts painting. But she can't sit up, so they have a special easel made for her, and they put a mirror above her so she can paint her favorite subject, which is herself. She loves doing self-portraits. And what she does and what I admire about her is she's always unapologetically herself. People make fun of where she's from, how she looks, how she walks, everything about her, and she doesn't let it rile her in any way. And I want my kids to have that lesson. In fact, Brian, one of the things we did at the end of the book is we put a real mirror into the book on the last page, a little plastic mirror. And when you get to it, little cartoon, obviously these are cartoon biographies for kids, but little cartoon Frida Kahlo holds up the mirror and says, what do you see? Because I see a work of art. And then it says, I am Frida Kahlo. I know the most beautiful thing is you, just as you are. And my God, I want my daughter to have that lesson and my sons to have that lesson, that stop worrying about selfies and instead worry about self-love.
Well, to look at her art, it is pretty revolutionary for the time, and as you look at it now, there were so many fortuitous things that happened to her in her life. Clearly, the polio, something natural, then the bus accident, something unnatural, but meeting the man that eventually became her husband, how did that come about?
Yeah, so when she's a little girl, there's a guy invited to her school, a very famous painter named Diego Rivera, who comes to her school to paint a mural, and she kind of wanders into the auditorium where he's painting and just starts sitting down staring for hours, and is just moved by this guy, and he's obviously older than she is, but she's taken with him, and later when she starts painting, brings him her paintings, and he says, you know what, these other ones are okay, but three of them are really good, you have talent, and realizes that she's got something, and slowly as she develops, and I think it's so important, you know, kids see painters, and you're like, oh, you're a good painter, and then kids look at their own drawings, and they're like, I can't draw, and they stop. And, you know, why do we stop drawing? Why do we stop coloring? Why do we stop doing those things? And there's no good reason. We just do. And I love that Frida Kahlo proves that, like, if you stop, you won't go forward. But if you keep at it, you get better. And that's a good lesson, whether you are an artist or whether you play baseball or whether you are a lawyer or whether you're a doctor. You have to work at it. As I said before, you know, being successful is not something that's magical. It's about hard work. And Frida Kahlo also represents that. And it's, you know, eventually she surpasses Diego Rivera, where people don't know who Diego is, but they know Frida and they know who she is. And she says, I'm the best painter in the world. And that, you know, amazing confidence and that unflappability is something that I think, especially for young girls, you know, boys are always taught to kind of beat their chest and talk themselves up. But girls, I was reading the statistic, you know, that men apply for jobs even if they're not qualified for it, that they'll figure it out. But women won't apply until they're qualified at every level. And I want my daughter to say, take a chance on yourself, bet on yourself. Because that's what Frida Kahlo does, is teaches you that.
That was something that stood out to me, is her self-confidence. And I noticed that she had a photographer for a father, and so she had art in her family and artists. But were you able to dip into where that self-confidence came from? Or was it just something natural that was always with her?
You know, this is one of those nature versus nurture things, right? I mean, she clearly has something about her, even as a really little kid, where she's got the gusto. But I also believe, especially as a parent, that you can either, you know, kids are like flowers, and you can either water the plant, you water the flower, or you can stomp on it. And I certainly believe my three kids have been almost fully formed since birth, and we're going to screw them up in, I'm sure, plenty of different ways we don't realize. But I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's really helpful. You know, I think the thing she has that's amazing is not even the self-confidence, which is vital, but it's a mixture of that with her desire to simply say, this is beautiful. You know, she loves bugs, of all things. And her friends look at her like, bugs are gross. And she's like, isn't it beautiful? Puts them under a microscope. Isn't that beautiful? And that takes a self-confidence. Just to believe in your own beliefs is harder, especially when you're younger. Maybe when you get older, it's easier. But she's doing this as a little girl. And that's pretty staggering to me.
When you do this with all of your I Am books, you look at somebody's life and you read a ton about it, do the research. How do you go about editing down just in your own mind before you start writing that this book can only be so many pages long, so I need to pick these events in this life? What's your process in your mind as you pick those events out?
Yeah, you know, I kind of liken it to the Supreme Court's definition of pornography, which is you know it when you see it. Right, you just know a good part of their life when you see it. The only question is how do you get it down to those 40 pages for the kids' book? And I'll tell you, each time it's different. Like, some fit perfectly, and you're like, they just have just enough in their life. You know, I Am Amelia Earhart, when we did that book, it was just perfect, right? She starts out, she makes a homemade roller coaster at 7 years old in her backyard. 7 years old, you know, she goes on flying lessons, she works harder than anyone, she goes across the Atlantic, she breaks these records. It's a very linear story, and it fits perfectly. Others, like Dr. King, when we did I Am Martin Luther King Jr., when I did I Am George Washington, when I did I Am Abraham Lincoln, I had 10 extra pages of stories that were so good and so amazing about this person that I wanted to have room for, but I just said, I can't have everything, you know? I can't have a full adult biography. You got to pick the best of. And so I, you know, it's almost like a mix. When you make your favorite mixtapes, and then after you have probably like 10 mixtapes, you have like the greatest hits one, and you know, this is the best of the best. That's what I think the Ordinary People Change the World series is I eventually have to pick the best of the best and give you the best mixtape I can of their life. And the truth is, the secret sauce is not just Chris Eliopoulos' amazing art, but it's also the fact that we always pull stories from when they're kids. I can tell you that Frida Kahlo is an amazing artist. I can tell you about, you know, Anne Frank or Benjamin Franklin or all the other books we've done, and for heroes, I Am Walt Disney. But the stories that kids really respond to is we always start out by telling them stories as a kid. That Frida Kahlo, when she was little, was limping around and kids called her ugly and made fun of how she walked. But that she loved bugs or playing boys sports. That Walt Disney used painted on the side of his house, thinking it was going to come off, but he didn't realize he was painting with tar, and it never came off when he was a little boy. His parents were so upset. Like, that's what kids love, is seeing that these heroes are just like them. Because that, in the Ordinary People Change the World series, These aren't the stories of famous people. This is what we're all capable of in our very best days.
Before I let you go, I have to ask. Disneyland in California has been closed since the pandemic started. Disney World in Florida is open, and I think that that has only got to be for one reason, is that the Brad Meltzer takes his kids there every year as a surprise day from school. Did it happen this year?
I love you for asking. Yes, one day every year on the way to carpool, I pull into carpool, and instead of pulling up to school, we drive, fly through carpool, and I announce to my kids we're going to Disney World. Every year we've done it since they're little, to just remind them that you can put a little magic in life every day. And when I wrote I Am Walt Disney, one of our favorite books that we've done, we put that detail in the book, which kids really, I hope they got a kick out of. And the good news was, is we had made the trip right before the pandemic started. So I told the kids that that counts for this year. They, of course, they're counting not by calendar year, but by school year. So they're hoping that by the end of the school year, the trip will still be there. So I am not dissuading them. I'm hoping that if things go well, and you know, we obviously seen that now vaccines have been coming out faster, especially here in Florida. Let's just say I'm hoping for the trip this year.
All right. Well, these two books are just so fun to read, and I know kids of all ages are going to enjoy them. The first one is A New Day, and the second one is I Am Frida Kahlo. The books are both written by Brad Meltzer with the illustrators. But Brad, just fantastic offerings for children. I love that you do this for young readers, and I thank you for joining me again to talk about these.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks for always supporting us, whatever the medium. It means more than I can express, and for the thoughtful questions and research.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Another Pleasant Valley Sunday.